You're listening to The Plumbing Sales Coach, where we give companies the strategies and skills to create a massive customer following. Fresh. Thank you for making us part of Spotify's top 10% most shared and followed podcast. And now, your host, Chris.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of The Fresh Approach. I'm your host, CF, the Plumbing Sales Coach, and today we have a special guest on the line, and this is somebody who has absolutely mastered half of your business. When you think about running a service plumbing company and you think about what you have to do every single day, it's real simple. You have to make the phone ring and you have to convert that call. And the only way you convert that call is by having employees, by having a team, by having technicians that can go out and run those calls. And Ryan England is here and he is with Core Matters and he is the founder of Core Matters. He's the visionary behind it. And it's really genius when you hear what he has to say about hiring. In fact, he has a brand new book out, and I'm not going to tell you the title just yet. I'm going to let him come on here and tell us about that. But the book is masterful. I'll give you a little sneak on the title. You've often heard it said, hire slow, fire fast. Ryan has a very unique approach to that, and it's actually a little bit different, and I think you're going to love it. I think you're absolutely going to love what he has to say, because this, when I was listening to his book, I bought his book and listened to it on audio, I was blown away. These are things that I've been living, dealing with myself for years, that you guys have been dealing with yourself for years, and it's an art. It's an absolute skill set, and you have to know what you're doing when it comes to hiring. You're only going to be as big as the size of the team that you have. You can only do so much on your own. And you want to have the right team. You want to hire people into the right environment. You want to make sure that those people not only understand what you're about, but you understand what they're about, and those things align. And that's something powerful that I learned from the book already. Just in the first two chapters, I will say that his book has enough value in it, similar to our coaching pricing, similar to what we charge on a monthly basis for one-on-one coaching. I believe that much value is packed inside of just the first couple of chapters. And look, you gotta check out the book. But let's get into Ryan and let Ryan tell us a little bit about his, who he is and what he thinks. Ryan, welcome to the show. Welcome to the podcast. You know, you've been on here one time before. When was that? That was maybe a year ago?
Yeah, it was definitely last year. It's been a while.
And it was before you wrote the book?
Absolutely.
Okay, so
I was
a lot.
Writing the book.
You were writing the book. That's right. You were writing the book and you were writing the book. And then you had to take time once the book was written to then go record it on audio, which you did a great job, by the way. I actually enjoy listening to you read the book on the audio. It's kind of funny being here with you right now because I've been listening to you through my truck. But yeah, you're phenomenal. You really have a great delivery. It's easy to listen to, very easy to understand. I love how you break things down. But I'm going to flip the script on you really quick. Tell us, why? Like, what happened? How'd you, why are you doing this? What got you invigorated into this idea of, I'm going to go fix this problem for owners all, because you're not just service plumbers. This is, service plumbing owners. These are owners of all kinds of blue collar trades that you can help. What motivates you? Why do you do it?
Yeah. You know, it took me a long time to figure it out. But about 6 years ago, I was sitting down with my coach and I was talking to it. And all of a sudden, I just remember just like getting the chills and tears coming to my eyes. And he's like, that's why you do what you do. Because I didn't know. But, you know, I grew up in a blue collar entrepreneurial family. My dad was an owner operator. Like, we know owner operators all the time. They can't get out of the truck. They can't get out of the shop floor. They're stuck there. And I know a lot of people in this space, my dad being one of them, that says, you know what? I'm going to go start my own business because I want to live the American dream. I want time freedom. I want more money. I want more for my family. I want more. And I want to be able to have control over that. And being a business owner is the way to do it. And they have this idea that you can own a business, but so many entrepreneurs end up in a business that owns them. My dad was one of them. I remember I was in high school and I'd go down on the weekends. I'd work for him over the summer. And it wasn't because I got to hang out with my dad. I mean, that's why I was there, but he was bringing me out because I did what I was told. I was cheap labor and he was getting help he needed from someone he could trust. And as I got older, I realized that my dad's issue was he never was able to build a team of people he could trust. It was all about hiring people he could trust. And it wasn't because he wasn't a good leader or he wasn't a good manager. It was because nobody ever taught him how to do this stuff.
Yeah.
He's a blue collar guy.
That's common.
And it is. That's totally common. So as I started my own business, I started a marketing company and a couple years in had a bunch of clients like, I don't need your leads anymore. I don't need the leads. I don't need the leads. And I'm like, what's going on? What do you mean you don't need the leads? Like, you're happy? Everything's perfect? And they're like, no, we don't have techs to service them. We're out of techs. And it was a plumbing company, actually, was my first one. And they said, I got four trucks sitting in the yard, empty, no techs. I'm booking calls 3-4 weeks out. My cancellation rate's like 70%. Like, they're booking the call and they're canceling when they find someone else. I don't need to spend money on this. So I said, you know what? Maybe I can help. It was one of the first things that I realized, and it's a tenet in my book, is that recruiting is not an HR activity. Hmm. Recruiting is a marketing activity. And I was like, I'm a marketer. I can do this for them. And I went out. 3 weeks later, they called me. They said, turn the leads back on. So what happened?
Turn the leads back on.
They go, we filled all four trucks and we got two new techs waiting for trucks to show up. Now, this was back when you could get trucks.
Now, yeah, that's a whole nother topic for another day. But Ryan, when I talk to owners all the time, usually what I find is a culmination of things. Number one, the culture is non-existent. There's no culture. Yeah. There's nothing for customers, as in the consumer that's paying for the service, to really fall in love with, or a brand identity, or no relationship. And then inside the company, it's just a job. It's literally just a job. And guys show up and they get sent out and then make the most of it, kind of thing. And there's this cycle that you realize, like, okay, if the owner just starts to put some processes in place, they can maximize the revenue opportunity they currently have. From there, they can use that new money. They don't have to buy more leads. They don't even have to get more employees. They just make more with what they have. They can take that new money, that overage, and invest it. And they can invest it in things like this, because that's the reality. Your first customer is your employee. And you got to market to customers. So why wouldn't you have to market to employees? You absolutely have to. And you have to be good at it. We say something called always be recruiting. Always be recruiting. Mm-hmm. Always have a pipeline of customers coming in more than you can handle, and employees more than you can handle. And that's what gives you freedom to grow. And also not live in scarcity, where you hold on to that guy too long, or that lady too long, who shouldn't be working for you. You said something that struck me right away. I think it was in chapter 2 or chapter 1. It was right in the beginning. And you mentioned this idea of there's core values. There's these things that we stand for that are unique. And then there's these, I can't remember what you called it, but there is these other values that are common. They really shouldn't be a measuring stick, like someone not stealing. That should be a baseline. That should be a
permission to play. Yep.
Permission to play. That's right. And I thought, there's so many owners, Ryan, that I talk to today. They're listening right now. And they've got an employee they know they need to get rid of. They know it. They know it. They've already, their spouse has told them, their friends have told them. They keep getting advice because they're hoping somebody will give them the answer of, you can keep them, but
if
you can't.
Hear, yeah.
This is the solution. The name of the book, it's actually Hire Fast. What do you say?
Hire better people faster.
Hire better people faster. That's powerful. That's not hire slow. That's hire better people faster. Really quick, guys, if you're listening in, that doesn't mean just go hire everyone, because you can't leave out the word better people.
Yeah.
You can't leave out the word better people. All right, take us through a little bit of the book here. So you've got these core values, you really believe in those. This sense of attachment, like another powerful thing you said too, and then I hope you can kind of break down to our audience the example you use with the rhinoceros, and hopefully I'm not forcing you to talk more about what you want to talk about, but there's an example in the book that you use that's amazing. But what I want listeners to know right now is that when you are bringing people into your world, into your environment, you're building a team. These are people you have to live and breathe with, and they're going to represent you, and you're going to represent them. When you go stand up for them in the home because they messed up, or when they stand up for you, this is a commonality thing. You mentioned something about this rhinoceros and how it's kind of – it brings it all together, the idea of this. Can you explain to our listeners what that is, what happened there, the story of the business that did that and recognized that, and what's going on with that?
Yeah, so It was one of the first companies that I talked to once I figured out that there's not just a process. Like, there's no secret sauce to this. There's no one thing that if you do it, it's going to solve the problem. It's a culmination of things. But the thing that is most important is really understanding what I call your core. That's where your values, your vision, your purpose, all the stuff you're talking about, that sense of connection and belonging, all of it is right there. And if you have to be intentional about it. And I was at this client and I was at their office and they were telling me about, oh yeah, we've got core values. And at the time, I think they had like 27 of them. It was crazy. But I'm sitting here talking, I'm like, I really want to understand you. And I'm looking around and I'm seeing photos and sculptures and wood carvings of rhinoceros everywhere. I'm like, what the heck is this? And I don't remember the name of the book that he read right now, but there was a book that he read that got him thinking about this. And he's like, that's the kind of culture I want to build, is this culture that's very similar to a rhinoceros. Like a rhinoceros, when they are running towards something, you are not stopping them. Mm. Right? It's a herd of rhinos is called a crash. That's what they're called.
That makes sense. I've never heard that before.
They put their head down and you cannot stop them. Like when they put their head down, they run through anything and everything.
They're an unstoppable force.
You move. You get out of the way because they ain't stopping. And so he read this book that helped him with this idea. And so he just fell in love with this idea of these rhinos. I said, if that's so important to you, why isn't that one of your values? Everybody was already believing it. Everybody was already living it. Everybody was already talking about it. But they didn't commit to it. It wasn't something that said, that is one of our values. So we sit down with them, we redid all of their values, and that was one of them. And it was something that they already were embracing, but now they embrace it another level. And so now it almost became a mascot for them.
Well, I was wondering, like, shouldn't they just change their name to like Blue Rhino Metal? And I threw blue in there because everyone knows I love blue, but like Blue Rhino Metal, right? And then they have a story for their, and they could even, yeah, you could take that story. Guys, listen, he's talking about core values. We're talking about this idea of an internal culture, but make no mistake, your internal culture is what overflows onto your customer. That's what your customer experiences. So this is a story. This is what we call brand story. This is what people get excited about. They want to do business with you because you have a purpose. You have a vision. You're an unstoppable force. Look, you have a problem with your metals, we'll fix it. Nothing can stop us from getting it right. That's messaging that people go, I'm buying that. I'm buying from you and I'll pay more because that I can understand that value. That's huge. I hope you guys are listening. I hope you get this book. He mentions the book. He forgot the name of, by the way, he mentions in the book. So I'm not going to tell you either. Go get the book. It's a $16 book, $20 book. Brian, why isn't this book $599? I mean, this book, it's so funny. I'm listening to it and I'm like, ooh. You're giving the good stuff in here. Like this isn't just fluff.
I get everything in there. Like
everything's in there. Everything's in there, guys. So if you don't want to spend, you know, thousands of dollars to get Ryan into your business one-on-one, I don't even know if you offer that. That has to be a tens of thousands of dollar price tag. But if you want to get Ryan to work with your team and you're like, I don't have the money or I just want to throw a dart and see if it works, go get the book. Put it on audio. Most of you drive around all the time anyways. Go get the book. Listen to the book. You'd be missing out. Ryan, where can they get that book?
Everywhere. Amazon is the most popular place. Everybody knows that you can buy it on Amazon. All the bookstores. It's not in bookstores yet, but I don't even know if those exist anymore. I don't even know if bookstores are a thing anymore.
Well, I think they're on their way out. There's a little thing called Audible and another thing called Books on.
Well, and the audiobook just dropped a couple of weeks ago, so I'm excited to hear.
Was I your first? Is that true though? Was I your first audiobook purchaser?
First one that I've heard of.
Man, so you'd already sold a ton of copies of the physical book, but I got the first audiobook.
The book came out on October 17th, but the Audible didn't drop until like November 25th.
And my beautiful alignment of procrastination and my inability to want to read a book, it lined up perfectly to make me your.
Well, and that's why I recorded the audio. I recorded that audio because I knew the people that I wanted to read that book weren't going
to
read it.
Well, everyone listening to this podcast is probably going to be more willing to listen to the book, my guess is. But you guys can go get that book anywhere. Well, maybe we can put the name of the book in the description of our podcast on this episode here. You guys can go down there and take a look at that. I got my producer saying, yeah, we'll do that for you. So just go in there. That'll be in there. You can always reach out to us at info@theplumbingsalescoach.com. Like, what was the name of that book? And we'll get you taken care of. We'll get you answered. We'll point you in the right direction. We don't do any kind of financial kickback. So just go to Amazon, just go wherever you're going to get it and get it. Enjoy it, love it, live it, do it because it's worth it. Okay, Ryan, That Rhino story really captivated me when I was listening to it. Also, the idea of the core values and the pay to play, or would you say it's a
permission to play?
Permission to play, and these permission to plays, these are saying, hey, look, I'm going to be a civil human based off society's moral compass. Like, I'm not going to steal from you. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to take time. You know, I'm not going to do things to you that's going to hurt you. Those are baseline things, right? We can all agree on that, right? Those are pretty
table stakes.
Yeah. So he's saying permission to play, like, okay, well, I'm going to pay you as an owner. So there's a permission to play as well from the employee. You know, they have requirements. They have, you know, you got to pay me when you say you're going to pay me, what you say you're going to pay me. It's got to be what you invited me into. You make a really good point about that. If you don't have a clear vision, then you invite people into your unclear vision. It may feel like it's changing on them when it's not. And they're not going to like that. And they're going to, would you say, bounce to another vehicle? I love how you frame that. Yeah. Ryan, you work with some large companies. You work with, we're talking, I don't want to put your business out there. We can edit this out if you want, but $250,000 contracts, right? These are some large companies that you do business with at times. And then also,
some of our largest clients are in that.
But
space,
but that's not your main thing. So the reason why I say that to everyone is I want you to understand Ryan has a 100,000 foot view level. Like, he's seen it. He's seen it in the big world. He's seen it in the small world. He's seen it with his dad growing up, as you heard. He's seen it with corporations. He's more than equipped to help you with your one man shop, with your 10 man shop, with your 100 man shop. We have clients, as you know, Ryan, inside of our program. They range from two people in the shop, husband and wife, all the way up to, we've got Roto-Rooter in the program and HomeServe. These are nationwide corporations. So you see that. But isn't it true that the activity and the things that worked at the one-man shop are the same things that work in the larger society? Is that accurate? Oh,
yeah. Absolutely. And it's the same thing. The things that work there will work at the bigger companies, and the problems that the smaller companies have, the bigger companies still have. The only difference is that the bigger company, there's an extra one or two zeros at the end of it and what it's costing them to have a problem. It's the same problems. And here's why. It's all run by people.
People serving That's people. It's either people trying to manage people or people trying to serve people. And I think you have something to say about that as well, right? As far as that active culture and retention and keeping people around. Which one's better?
Oh, serving people. Like, you got to have that servant's heart, and you got to be a servant leader. And, you know, we run into this a lot. So I don't know if you want me to go down this path. You cut me off if you don't like it. But one of the biggest challenges we're seeing right now in any of the trades is we have an entire generation of the workforce that's ready to age out. Mm. There's a lot of people listening right now. They're like, my top guys are getting close to 60. Their knees aren't what they used to be. They're not going to be able to do the work like they used to be able to do, and they have all the knowledge. And you're looking at the younger generation, you know, the 20s and 30-somethings, and you're just like, oh my gosh, how did society fail everybody, right? Like, you're thinking that.
Yeah.
And the reality is, and this is, some people aren't going to like this, the reality is we live in a culture where it's about chasing. And you've got a couple of things stacked against us. One of us, we have the largest fatherless generation in the history of the world. A lot of kids that were raised without the role model of a father. We can have a whole episode on that if we need to, but that's the reality. The other reality is we have a lot of kids that are raised in dual income families. They didn't have a lot of the values and the morals and the work ethic being taught by their parents. We put that on school and the internet and TV, and we're putting in all that, which
we handed away the influence. We subbed out the influence on our own kids. Yeah, you're talking to a father of eight, and I couldn't agree more.
And so these kids, they get out of school and they get into the real world, and they are absolutely lost.
They're all told to get in the same line. Yeah. You can have 100,000 different types of people, and they're all told to get in the same line, follow the same track, do the same thing, and that's not reality. To say that college is bad is not reality, but to say college is necessary is not reality. Everyone's Absolutely. Different. But we lost the passion about our own trade, about our own thing. Now, I'm talking for service plumbers, and you look at blue collar, it's the same. It doesn't matter if you're an electrician, HVAC, handyman, painter, you're running into the same problems. These are skilled trades. Yeah. And so, Ryan, you make a really good point here. because I think a lot of people right now, they're out there trying to find the, they're trying to find the Barry Bonds. They're trying to find the Peyton Mannings. They're trying to find the Tom Brady's. No, you got to go. Well, Tom Brady's a good example. You got to go into the depths sometimes of the pits to find the good humans and give them an opportunity. No one wants to step down into a position. Just hear me on this. No one wants to step down into a position. They want to step up. So you got to provide something better than the last guy to get people to want to come work for you. And that transition can look a lot of different ways, from plumbing to plumbing or from a different trade into plumbing. The second piece of that is you got to have a process to train people. You can't just send people out and expect your plumber to be an amazing salesperson, an amazing hands-on skilled trade, also a great trainer. There has to be a process for every single step.
Well, and you can't just stop at the craft. Like, too many people focus on, I'm only going to train the craft, and I'm going to train the craft. And if they don't get it and they still have problems, I'm going to fire them for someone else. And it's like, they might be an amazing plumber, but they can't get there on time. They might be an amazing plumber, but they don't know how to talk to the customer and make the homeowner
That's a big
feel
one.
Comfortable when they're in the house. Like, they might be an amazing technician, but nobody has ever taught them customer service skills. Or how to empathize with a customer. No one's ever taught that stuff because that's, you said, we subbed out the influence. And so we run into people all the time. They're like, I have the best apprenticeship program, the best training program. And the guy quits for $2 more an hour because he doesn't know how to budget his personal finances. Because no one ever taught him how to do that stuff. And so, and especially in the trades, because society believes that like this is everybody's plan B, which is, we need to get that out of there, right? But these people come into the trades, they get into the trades, no one ever taught them life skills. And so they make a bad decision, or they don't spend right, or they oversleep. And all of a sudden we're like, oh, see, no one wants to work. Everybody's lazy. Everybody's entitled. And the thing you have to remember, for those of you listening, thinking that, you were young ones too. And the generation that was in the marketplace then was thinking the same thing about you. So, and I don't pull punches. Who's the one that's entitled? What am I thinking like that?
Look, I can tell you right now, as someone who is coached now, I mean, so many companies have come through this program. I'm constantly reflecting back to my younger years and going, man, you sucked as an employee, Chris. Like you were terrible. I couldn't have handled you, man. I would have fired you so fast. And I produced. Like, I was a producer. It didn't matter where I worked, I produced. But I was a walking, I was a conflict, you know, I would cause problems when there needed to be problems. Cause I was always trying to, you know, in my mind, I was trying to make the place better, but I was just aggravating, I'm sure. Asked a lot of questions, different things, but man, you know, if people hadn't given me the time or day or given me the patience, they would have missed out on that result as well. And I think that's, you know, it's interesting because a lot of us, as owner operators, get really fixated on hiring ourselves, hiring someone just like us. We want to try to replace ourselves, and we don't realize that there's different positions, there's different seats on the bus that need to be filled by different types of people. And I think that's something that you really hone in on. I want to tell a quick story of something you did for somebody in our program. We have a gentleman, a company, you know who they are, Bob and Shelley Kellogg out of La Crosse, Wisconsin. La Crosse. I love you, Wisconsin. I think that's the 70s show or something. But these guys came into the program. They had they did not have a good crew. They were not doing very well. It was a financial nightmare. And also they were working harder than they've ever worked in their lives. And it was just basically stuck in mud. You know, it's the idea of just spinning your wheels. And we did some things process-wise, fixed their schedule, fixed some of the other things, and that definitely improved their revenue. They definitely had a huge, I think they doubled within the first year. But Bob and I were talking not that long ago, but they hired you on a high level, they went with one of your bigger packages that you offer where you work with them. And man, they were blown away. And what's funny is that we teach a lot of the same things you and I do. I don't go down. I'm not an HR person. I don't go down the hiring path. We have some things that we definitely talk about with recruiting and how to get yourself out there. But man, you really dialed it in for them. The crew they have right now. I mean, I've thought like, man, I wonder should I go buy that one from him, and because he's got a great crew. They're producing, they're doing their thing, they're living, they've got that culture. They're getting the vibe, they're growing, expanding on it. And he had a lot to say about you and how your team operated. He loved it. It was a great experience for him. And also the information, you know, I'll tell you this, Ryan, I'm not impressed if your information's accurate. That should be accurate. Like, don't come on here telling everyone you can help people if you can't. But the way you go about it, I think, is even more impressive. Your book is outstanding. The information on there is unbelievable. Again, go to Amazon. We're not even going to make a plug for anything that we have on this show. I just want you to go get Ryan's book. That's my contribution to you. I told you about the book. Ryan wrote it. You just got to go buy it and implement it. And if you go get that book, like, I'll put this, go get the book. If you don't like the book, don't join our program, because you're not going to like us either. It's that good. I risk my own reputation on it. Ryan, what would you, if someone's listening right now and they're like, dang, that was helpful. This was a good podcast. I appreciate the information. But I didn't get anything that I could go implement right now. I didn't get an actionable. Is there something that you could give them right now, like an actionable item that they could go, I can go do that right now?
Yep, absolutely. We have a bunch of them. In fact, I go through a lot of them in the book. But let me give the one that I've been talking about a lot lately. Is the employee referrals.
You love those, right?
I love them.
Now, you're talking about sign-on bonuses where you say, $1 million, come work for me.
No, I mean, if someone's given $1 million sign-on bonus, I don't know. That probably is going to work.
But some of these people are putting out $10,000, $5,000. That's nuts. It's like, what are you doing?
There's a company that had a $10,000 signing bonus, and then when you read the fine print, payable over 60 months.
Yeah, it's like, come on. Oh, they got me like that in the Navy, bro. I took I joined up for an extra year for $1,500. Now, when you're 17, 18, that's, oh my goodness, what will I do with mom? I made it. Quit your job, right? Like, we're doing this. But then when I went by the fourth year, when I finally got it, I was like, I don't want this. I want out. Like, sorry, I got us off track. So employee referrals.
I'm going to tell you two stories. Number one, well, I'm going to tell you two things. The first one is why employee referral programs do not work. Okay. The traditional employee referral program that most people listening right now.
So you're saying this is the number one reason why they don't work.
Number one reason why they don't work.
Okay.
Only 6% of your people are going to be motivated by money or recognition. What do most employee referral programs do as a reward?
Money and recognition.
They give you money and recognition. Only 6% of your people. And here's why they don't work. Here's a couple of reasons why they don't work. Number one, we don't equip our people on how to have this conversation. We don't equip them. So what happens is I go up to... You know, you ask me, Chris, for a referral, and you say, hey, Ryan, who do you know? And I say, you know what? I'm going to call my buddy Scott. Scott, he's looking. I know he's not super happy. I'm going to call Scott. This is how the conversation goes. I call Scott, and I say, hey, Scott, how you doing, man? It's been a couple of weeks. Is your wife still pissed at me? And he's like, yeah, I told you we weren't supposed to go do that weekend away. I told you it was going to be a bad idea. She's mad at you. Well, okay. Well, here's the deal. This is what really is said. Now, this may not be out of the conversation. This is what's really said. All right. So my boss has this deal where if you go tell your wife that I want you to quit your job and come work with me, this is the coolest part. He's going to give me $500. I want you to go tell your wife that you're going to quit the job that is putting food on the table and come take a chance working for my company. You think she's going to go for it?
No, anyway, no, your buddy ain't going for it either. He's like, I'm not doing that.
He's like, dude, I'm done with you.
Yeah.
You keep getting me in trouble. But that's what happens. I mean, that's what you're really asking them to do, is you're asking them to call their friend and say, hey, quit your job and come over here because I win. Where's the incentive for him? And what I'm going to give you is a couple of ways you can get that to work. The other thing to keep in mind is, how do most employee referral programs work? I'll pay you out once they've been here 90 days.
Yep.
Well, last time I checked, that's called employee retention, not employee referral. So what we really have done is we've created these employee retention programs. So now you're taking a tech whose really value to the company is to be on site with the customer, sell the customer, upsell the customer, serve the customer, all these other things. That's their skill set. That's what you pay them to do. And now you're saying, hey, for an extra $500, I want you to retain the person as well. It's your responsibility to make sure they stay here. That's why they don't work. So I want you to flip your thinking on this. Number one, I want you to reward the behavior that you want. What's the behavior you want? You want the referral. Reward the behavior. Now, some people will actually pay out, I'll pay $20 for every referral you give me, whether I hire the person or not. It's like a little spiff. That's one way to do it. Another way to do it is every time you give me a referral, I'm going to put your name in a hat. And at the end of the quarter, I got a $2,000 gift card for the winner. Something big, but you're only giving out one. Another way to do it is to say, hey, you know what? I got the person.
That last one you just said is typically what I coach with all things. Like when you do contests for reviews, when you do contests for yard signs, and it's really important for you guys to hear this because $20 doesn't get too many people excited. $2,000 does. But at the same time, that new guy that just got hired 1 month, 1 week before the drawing, if you make this drawing something that people can win on volume, people will quit. They'll quit chasing the win. So it's got to be a drawing. I thought that was really powerful. Make sure you guys catch that. That's a tip you guys can take and apply to the rest of your business for anything you're doing for your employees.
Yeah. The other way to do it is say, hey, I got to hire the person because I only want quality people. But the day I hire them, they show up for the first day of work, you get paid out your referral bonus because I want to reward the behavior. That's what I want to do.
Yeah, so I love that.
That's one way you can tweak your employee referral program to actually make it start generating results. Now, the second side of it is you've got to equip your people with how to have the conversation because you don't want them calling up their buddy and being like, hey, quit your job. Like, that's not what we got to equip them. So we have to train them on how to do this. And we've got to give them tools to do it. So here's a great tool, a great tip. What are most people paying? $500, $1,000 for a referral?
Probably, yeah, right around there.
Yeah. What's a new tech? Someone brand new to the company, what do they make, $30 an hour?
Well, if they're licensed and they're hourly, yeah, maybe 25 to 35, depending on the market and the area.
Yeah. No, let's just make it 30. Make the math easy. So what would it cost you? So $30, what would 3 days of paid time off cost the company? $50?
Yeah, I mean, I usually equate the burden at about $50 an hour because you figure in taxes and whatnot. So you just even if you took it all the way up to that $1,200.
Yeah, $1,200.
And that's an exaggerated number, everyone.
Yeah, but imagine that you gave me that to go to my buddy with. And instead of me saying, hey, you want to quit your job? What if the conversation was something like, hey, you know, I know your wife's still pissed at me. I got a crazy idea. You know how she's been nagging you to go visit her parents, but you haven't been able to afford to take the time off? Well, my boss just told me that if you were to come talk to him, come join our team, amazing guy, by the way, he's going to give you 3 days PTO to use however you want.
You know, that's a wild idea. I want everyone to really grab that because when you're in service, when you're dealing with people, you cannot think that everyone's offering this guy money, then you just have to offer more money. That's never going to work. You have to get creative with things. Apples to oranges comparisons. We could apply this to the way that you create options on the job site. We could create, I mean, we can really unveil this in so many different ways so that your customers and your future customers, your employees, are able to see like, man, this is different. But what Ryan's really saying is equip your team to figure out what the value is of the person they're recruiting. The spouse, what do they value? And then that's what you focus on because this idea of coming to work here and we can both get a bonus or coming to work here and whatever, these people are uprooting their lives. Like they're leaving a job, whether they like the job or not, they're comfortable, they're familiar. Most people will stay in hell because they're comfortable with it, even if heaven is just right across the street. And so you've got to be able to showcase to them how this is going to be better. I remember a buddy of mine got $2,000 for referring me to work for Angie's List. Now we're going back 15 years ago. But he didn't talk about that. What he did was he came over and he talked to me and my wife about, man, this job that he's got that's amazing. And the kind of money he's making and the kind of time he's putting in versus what he knew we and him used to work back in the day at a different place together. He was able to make that connection. But what he did was smart. Is he told my wife, he's like, man, if Chris and, you know, he kind of leveraged my ego. He said, you know, Chris is pretty good at sales. He usually is in the top of the boards. You know, the people there are making $20,000 a month. And he then said this, you'd be able to quit the daycare. We owned a daycare, in home daycare at the time. And she was like, how can we get you to that interview? And I was like, I'm falling asleep. I don't even want the job. I have no interest in leaving the job I've got right now. I'm like, what are we doing? But man, he won the right one. He got my wife involved. And then all of a sudden, and he got her involved and he benefited her. He focused on benefiting her. So this is crucial, man. I love what you're saying. I've always said, if you want to win the guys, win the wives. I think I have a short clip out there somewhere on Instagram years ago on a reel. If you want to win the wives over, if you want to win the guys over, win the wives over. This is true after they work there. You know, this is true. Taking the guy fishing because they had a great week does nothing for the, it's just more time away from the family.
So you got one of the first, that plumbing company 7-8 years ago, one of the first things we implemented, because they were struggling with retention. And that's a whole nother episode, right? You get this guy here. Now, how do you keep him long term? So one thing that they did was they said, you know what? Every new technician, when they come out, and these were smaller companies, I think they're like 40, 50 employees. They went out with the president of the company for a nice dinner, took the new technician and his wife out, paid for childcare if they needed to. And they sat down and they had a solid conversation, adult conversation with both parties, not just the new employee, but their spouse as well, and shared the vision and talked about the culture and talked about why they do what they do.
We're going to go a little long on this. You just sparked something I think the audience needs to hear. That vision, when they cast that vision, is it the vision for the owners of the company? Is it the vision of what the company is going to do? Or is it the vision that they have for that husband and wife and their future with the company? Which one is it that they should be having?
Well, definitely the last one, definitely the latter. But that's a struggle to get there for a lot of owners, because owners are thinking, well, my vision's to double the size of the company. My vision's to increase profitability to 20%. My vision's that.
And all you have to do, owners, listen, that's your vision. Great. I love it. That's your vision. Own that vision. That's your goal. That's more of a goal, but that's your vision. That's what you want to do. So find out, what's that mean? Well, when you double the size of your company, you need twice as many managers, twice as many office staff, twice as many whatever. Then go find out what this person wants to do for their own, like, you know, husband, wife. What do you? It starts with questions, by the way, because you're casting vision, you're selling here. You are absolutely starting with questions. What do you guys want? I watched Grant Cardone sell a glass of water to Billie Jean. It was laughable. He did nothing right. I was actually shocked. But there was no question. Just buy it because I'm Grant Cardone. It's like, what? Well, that doesn't work. What you really have to do is figure out what they want, and then you have to show them how they're going to get it in your vision. So if you want to double the size of your company, that's wonderful. Great. What's that mean for them? Well, what do they even want out of that? So what they want out of, she wants him to get a position of leadership. She wants him to go into management one day. She wants him to do more. She sees more in him. You start hearing
easy
that.
Easy ones. She wants him to not be on call.
She wants him to not be on call. Don't get me started. Don't get me started. Okay. Anyways, you want the greatest competitive advantage to hire people? Get rid of on-call. You'll make more money during the week than you ever made in the nights and weekends, and you'll have more employees. Don't get me started.
Don't get me started. I'm with you.
but yeah, 100%. So I hope you guys are grasping this, because this is human beings. These are not pieces of machinery. These are human. This ain't the military. Like, these are humans. Yeah. They have to be held accountable, though. So I don't want to lose that. But they are human beings. They have goals. They have dreams. They have desires. And they're not, their dreams and desires and goals aren't making your goals and dreams and desires come true. What they're willing to do is take you anywhere you want to go, as long as they get to go where they want to go. And one last thing, don't make your goals and dreams and values their goals. Like, they may not care about the private island that you want to buy. They may not want to buy a private, they might hate private islands. Don't constantly cast that vision like, one day you can own a private island. Find out what they want. Find out what they're excited about. Find out what
they value. That's where we get into dream management, and that's a whole nother thing, but, you know, helping them with their dreams. We have one client right now that started buying Smart Dollar, Dave Ramsey's course, to give it to all of their employees to help them better budget their finances so they can get out of debt, they can save for the future, those kinds of things.
That was the company that they're in the book also. They wanted to help everybody retire a millionaire. That was the whole thing of the, And so they put things in place that supported that, actions that said, that's what we're actually about.
And for people that wanted to retire a millionaire, they didn't go anywhere. They're like, who else is helping me do this?
they somehow got rid of the vacation policy on exes. That was smooth.
But I think that's the thing. One of the things you said, and we have a term for it, it's called what's in it for me. It's a marketing term.
Yeah. It's
when you're out there selling your vision, what's in it for them? Why do they care? Well, I tell this story. Here's the thing. We hear this all the time. How many times have you hired someone who you thought was amazing? You thought was, this is going to be the person I've been looking for. This is my number two, right? You think about it.
Oh my gosh.
6 weeks later, you're just like, what did I do? Like, you're just beside yourself. Like, who is this person? Here's what happens. Here's what happens. Every single time, it's a vision thing. So if you're learning about in the book, vision is where you're going. Where you're going. That's it. People are going to get on your metaphorical bus, right? Good to great. Get the right people in the right seats on the bus. They're going to get on your bus, which is your business. And you're going somewhere. They got to be so excited about where you're going that when your bus breaks down, when there's a downturn in the economy, you lose a key account, you lose a key customer, there's something catastrophic that happens in your business, they've got to be so bought into where you're going that when that bus breaks down or there's a detour or it's taking longer to get there, they're going to get off the bus and help you get it back on the road, not get off the bus and go get on someone else's. And the only reason they're going to get off the bus and help you get it back on the road and they're going to stick with you and push through is because they're excited about where you're going. Mm. So imagine you get two guys showing up and you say, hey, we're going skiing. We're so pumped. We are going skiing and we're just going to ski until you can't ski anymore. And you've got two guys showed up. One's in a snow bib. He's got his beanie on. He's got his gloves on. The other guy shows up in shorts and flip-flops and he's got his life vest on. Somebody is going to be extremely disappointed very soon when they figure out that where you're going is not where they thought you were going. So not only do you got to have a vision and get people excited about it, you got to be crystal clear about what your vision is. And it's not the things that are important to you. That's where you were going, Chris. I absolutely agree. It's not the things that are important to you. Because when you're driving up that mountain and you see those ski lifts in the distance, that guy in the... He's like, I don't know that I should be here anymore. And when you get out and he's freezing his tail off because he's like, this is not the vision I was sold. I was sold a vision of skiing and this is not what I had in mind for skiing. And then all of a sudden someone shows up and says, hey, we're going water skiing forever. And these guys leave and you're just thinking, what the heck? They were amazing in the interview. They were amazing when I talked to them. I thought they would have it, but you know what? Good riddance. Good riddance. And they're going to go somewhere else and they're going to perform and they're going to be top performers and they're going to be amazing because they're bought in to where your business is going.
You know, that's so true. Hey, listen, if you're listening, I'm just going to tell you right now, this idea, we say always be recruiting because you're going to run into these situations. You're also going to run into the situation where you think this guy's amazing and then he is. You think this girl's amazing and then she is, but you still need more. So there's never that, you're never one hire away. You're never one fire away. You're just literally in an ongoing battle of building the amount of team, building the bus size, creating more seats, and then filling those seats. And that's what it's all about. I actually use the ship analogy. I say, for every employee you have, that's a foot of ship. In the service plumbing business, you have anchors and you have engines. Engines drive revenue. Anchors support the revenue. And so if you've got a 5-man operation and 3 of them are anchors, that's going to look weird. 3 anchors on a 5-foot boat. With only one engine, that's going to look weird. And so you got to be dialed in. You're constantly growing the boat. So you need more engines and you need more anchors. And you got to be diligent, not only to add more, but not to lose as you're adding. And to really refine, you want to constantly be just like a 53-man roster on a football team. You want to constantly be improving it. But then you also want to be growing it. And that's, I guess, a little bit different than the 50-man three. Although they do pack those things out, don't they? There's like 150 people on the team. And then within 3 weeks, there's only 53.
Then that's a whole nother topic about the importance of having a bench. That's in the book too, by the way.
Look, go get this book. I don't know why you haven't already gotten the book. You're like, well, we're still on the podcast. Yeah, cut it off. Go get the book. All right, we love you guys. Listen, go get the book.
Pause button for a reason.
I'll tell you this. I'll make a deal with everybody right now. You go get that book, and then you email us your receipt, and we'll send you some free training for your sales team, for your techs. In fact, it's a course that we used to do. I think it was $797 was the course. It was a fierce training. It was basically helping the technicians deal with the three fears at the front door the customer has. We'll send that to you. No charge, no gimmicks, no strings attached. I don't get anything for you buying the book. I just want to impact the community. That's my why. Ryan wants to give people time, a better life, basically, with their families. No more lost time at home because A, people are providing poor opportunities for employees, or B, you can't keep people, so you're overworked and you're not spending time with your family. Either way, he's passionate about getting you back into the life that you wanted, as well as I am. We're doing it with a different angle and a different category. But at the end of the day, we're trying to achieve the same thing, and that's help you. So I hope you guys take advantage of that. Go get the book, and we'll send you the training just to kind of double stamp the idea that we really are about service over sales. We love you. As always, remember, serve your community in everything, not just plumbing. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Plumbing Sales Coach podcast. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram, and check us out on the web at theplumbingsalescoach.com.